tonight. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
At the gate called Beautiful, they laid out in the street a poor and lonely beggar who was crippled in his feet. John and Peter passed him. They saw his knee was bad. They had no gold or silver, but they gave him what they had.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who will be saved. Don't go down defeated.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a little bit. Brother Charlie Torres called with a testimony he wanted us to let you know about tonight. He wanted to thank God for working a healing in his body. He was told that he had pulmonary hypertension and returned to the doctor and was told that everything was clear. He had no problems, and he wants to thank the Lord for doing a great work in his life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. Here's another testimony. Sister Joy Gail Green would like to thank everyone who prayed for her younger son's court case. The jury found not guilty. He found in his favor, not guilty, so she wants to praise the Lord for that. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord for that testimony tonight. Sister Carol Reagan wants us to remember her sister Sharon in prayer tonight. She's not feeling well. Let's just pray that the Lord would touch her. Also, she wants us to remember Kimmy Dixon in prayer. She has had some complications, and the doctor has had to take the baby. She is 6 weeks early. Pray that she and the baby both will be fine. The doctor is concerned about the baby's kidney, so we certainly want to commit that need unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Nikki Ward. She has the flu and pneumonia, so let's pray for her healing tonight. I want to pray for Dwayne King. He has the flu, very sick, needs a touch from the Lord. Please remember Kara Wiggins. She has a bad cough and sinus problems. Let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Jan Hall sends this in that yesterday she took Gary to the doctor's express to be checked because he had severe pain in his abdomen. The doctor there checked him and found there was a serious problem and ordered us to go immediately to the emergency room. At the hospital, they gave him morphine for pain and have been doing tests but have not yet found the problem. Trusting through prayer that they will be able to find the cause, we want to thank all the saints at Happy Valley for your prayers. May God bless you. So we just continue to remember Brother Gary in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Zephaniah Peters from Tanzania. He had another stroke and is in the hospital in Kenya. So we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just be with him during this time. Prayer request here for Bryson Henley. That's our little grandson. He's going to have some oral surgery done in the morning. Just pray that the Lord would be with him. And also a boy that I used to go to school with years ago, Reese Carver, took the flu and it turned into pneumonia. They've got him on a ventilator right now. Just really needs a touch from the Lord. And that family's asking that we would remember him in prayer. I want to pray for Jennifer Harris. She's sick tonight and needs healing in her body. Hannah Yance is sick with fever, chills, and aching. Let's pray for her healing tonight also. Sister Caroline Hitt is sick with stomach virus. for the past 4 days, still not any better. So we want to remember her tonight. Whether just a lot of flu and stuff going around, we just pray for all those that are suffering from the virus, bronchitis, and all these different things that's in the air right now that people just are suffering with. So let's pray that the Lord would touch all of our brothers and sisters and our family. Here's a special prayer request. This is for Georgia Lyon, her little granddaughter, Harper Ray Bradley. She is 11 months old, and because of the umbilical cord being wrapped around her little leg during the pregnancy, she will be having her leg amputated on February the 18th. Please pray for the baby girl. The family knows that God can heal this baby's leg, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. If that was someone in your family, and your grandchild, well, just imagine the grief that you'd be going through at this time. But we know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all the grief that we could ever think about. He's a healer. You believe that with all your heart tonight? You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Jim Maxwell, would you come tonight? If you would, I want you to come pray over these prayer requests. Sister Linda, God bless you. Good to see you back in the service tonight. The Lord's bringing our sister along, and well, we just praise the Lord for that. We certainly do. It's good to see all of you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Appreciate Brother Jim, don't we? Our Lord has done him, he's brought him a long, long ways too. Brother Jim, God bless you, buddy. I love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you this evening, Lord, to thank you for another opportunity we have to be in the house of God, Lord. And Lord, to think back of the many wonderful things that we've been able to hear, Father. And Lord, it's no wonder that the prophets and sages of old, they longed to see this day, Lord. And here we are right in the midst of it, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I believe that even includes our own prophet, Lord. To see that there's a people that has taken the word that he spoke, Lord. And this word is becoming flesh in a people, Father. What he came to deliver to the people is becoming flesh, Lord. I'm sure that would just thrill his heart, Lord. And Lord, as we come this evening, Father, we just want to thank you again for just another opportunity, Lord, just to be in your great presence, Lord. And we just ask that you would just come, that you would have the preeminence in this service. And more importantly, Lord, that you would have the preeminence in our hearts and our lives, Lord, when we leave this building. Fathers, we take these needs before you, Father. We know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes, Lord, we go to the doctor. He may change the prescription. But, Lord, your prescription has never been changed. You said that by your stripes we are healed, Father. You've never had to alter it at all, Father. So, Lord, we just come, we commit them in your hands, knowing that you, Lord, you will take care of them in your own and perfect way, Lord, that will work for their benefit, Father. And we commit them all in your hands in this service. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. God bless you, buddy. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. Give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have all of you here. If you're those that are streaming this service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world as they stream this service tonight. Brother Harry, sing the second verse of that song, if you will. It's time to get up in Jesus' name, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. But God is needing soldiers to get out of those pews and take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Be dead, my victory's here to claim.
evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, but God is one soldier.
Yes, he is.
Get out of those pews and take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. My Lord, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it calls me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sing it now. Were you there when they laid him crucified our Lord. Were you there? Sing it now. You're just singing so good tonight. I'm going to let you sing one more. Is that all right? Will you help me sing one more? Let's sing that song when it's my time.
We're going to stand before the throne. When we all take our turn, we'll all have our own time. Won't nobody be in a big hurry. Wouldn't matter if they was, they ain't going nowhere. They're there forever, for eternity. When our time comes, what kind of a talk are we going to have with the Lord, Brother Wes? Going to be interested in it. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about that, Brother Harry, if you will.
When it's my time, I'm going to take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, I'm going to take my time to talk of His right. One must take their time. That in a hurried pace, there's often a waste with no sense of reason or rhyme. But when I think about my new life and living in my brand. To my mind is my time at the throne.
Oh, and when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to behold His face. Precious face. And when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time and we'll talk about Him.
See Him standing in line. They're just waiting for one moment or more of our precious Savior's time. Oh, and when I finally reach His presence, I'll take a thousand years, maybe two, just to thank Him for His wonderful love and His grace that brought me through.
And when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to behold His face. And when it's my time, I'm gonna take His amazing grace.
I'm gonna thank Him for the love that He bore and not leaving me alone.
Well, and when it's my time, I'm gonna take my time at His throne.
Praise the Lord. Give Him a big hand clap of praise. You can be seated tonight. Brother Matt Carter, come. Let's enjoy our brother as he sings for us tonight.
if I go, if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, life forever if I go. So praise the Lord, now I'm a winner either way. A loved one knew they reached the end of life's journey, and they were holding to God's hand a long, long time. And when I knelt beside their bed, my heart was true what they said. If I go or if I stay, the victory is mine. Now I'm a winner either way, if I go, if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, life forever if I go. Now praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. None of us really know about tomorrow. We must prepare to meet the Lord just any day. So while we're here, let's praise the Lord, and He'll lead us safe to our reward. And by His grace, I'll be a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay, for I still have my Jesus each passing day. And I'll have my healing here below, life forever if I go. Now praise the Lord, 'cause I'm a winner either way. Praise the Lord, I'm a winner. Either way.
I sung this a while back and I wrote it. Brother Daniel asked me what the name of it was. I said, I never did give it a name. It ain't merited a name yet, but Brother Daniel asked me to sing it. So when somebody like that asks you to sing a song you wrote, you feel pretty good. But anyway, I love the Lord. And I want what we're hearing, I want it to be a part of me. If the Lord tarries and I go by the grave, I'll go by the grave. But I tell you what, I sure would like to look the devil in the eye one of these days and go, devil. It's a brand new body. Open up the pages of your word, and we hear the preacher preach the sermon. I want to become what I've heard. In front of me I see Christ living in me. That's what I'm walking toward. Your desire, for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done. Lord, you're calling me to a higher place, to walk with you each and every day. If I pray and read my Bible, you will keep me in revival and lead me into a body change. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done. Lord, you're calling me to a higher place, to walk with you each and every day. If I pray and read my Bible, you will keep me in revival and lead me into a body change. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your kingdom come. I will let your
shall be. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind, his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we believe these scriptures that we have read tonight are true. We are so thankful that we have received a believing heart to accept this as being straight from you. We ask tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us as we look into the further unfolding of your great work and to see what you did and to see what you are doing. And if we can look back and see what you did with such a chaos, then we know you will have no problem completing what you've started in us. Bring your word to us tonight, Father. May it accomplish that which every heart has need of. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on ready to move in. Ready to move in. Last week we looked at God remodeling the earth. The destruction that had been brought upon her left such chaos, such destruction, such darkness, total annihilation of the plants, animal species that had lived on the earth. The plants still had remnants of seed life. The order of the earth was gone. The cycles of seasons of whatever existed prior to Genesis 1 verse 2. Everything on it had totally changed. How long it stayed in that darkened chaos, we don't know. God has chosen to remain silent about it. But God started remodeling and changing and moving about. He set things in divine order. Now, were they exactly the same way as they were when he set the earth in the beginning? That's something that we really don't know. Maybe we can ask him when we see him. Amen. But we know that this will be the order that will be fitting and suitable to carry the earth and its inhabitants up to the new day. Now, whenever God laid this out by dispensations and by times and seasons, he thought it through perfectly, knowing exactly what each age would need, what each dispensation would need. And he knew now that the creatures that are going to be brought upon the earth, animal life, botany life, animalcula, all these different things that would be there, they also would suffer another failure. They must be designed so that they will not only be able to live before this failure, but after this failure, they will be able to exist as well. By that I'm talking about the fall of Adam. If they are designed only to live before the fall of man, then when man falls, it'll all come back again and it'll all be annihilated again. So he plans it all out and thinks it all through and embeds in each seed of the plants, of the reproductive capabilities of the fish, of the fowl, and of the animals, that they would be able to live before the fall and after the fall, knowing then that he would bring redemption himself and would set the cycle of the earth in the eternal phase. This will be suitable for time. Now, as he starts cleaning up with any remodeling job, you've always got a mess. You brothers that have done it before, if you're knocking down walls and busting out sheetrock and taking out two befores, or if it's an older house, you got plaster and laths and wire and all that sort of thing. So you get a big old sledgehammer in there and a saw and you go to cutting and ripping and busting and carrying on. And you got dust a flying everywhere. You got nails. You got strips of wood. You've just got a mess. And you do it in stages. So you go in and you beat down for a while and then you clean up and pack it out and do something with it. Then you go back and do it again. Now, God has completed the stage of the remodel of the earth now. So now that he's got it to where he wants it, now it's ready for the inhabitants of all the realms to start moving in. Amen. Now, the issue would be, though, that all of the previous inhabitants that had lived upon the earth have been destroyed. Now we know there had not been a man up to this time, but whatever type of dinosaurs and whatever types of things that there were before that is written in the geological ages of stone that had been embedded there for man to find, all of those things by the millions were destroyed. So then God must start afresh on the animals that will be suitable for the earth from then up until the millennium. Now watch in verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. So now the firmament has been placed in the heavens. The oceans have now been driven to their spot. The rivers, the seas, the lakes, the volcanoes have come up. They've made great mountains. The seabeds have been formed. So everything is moving now to its particular assigned position. The sun has been designated to be the ruler of the day and the moon the ruler of the night. The stars are set on their particular pattern, their galaxies, their constellations in order that man will be able to view them from here. You do understand that we are the only planet, as far as we know, that has the view of the constellations the way we see them. You see, if you move right outside of where we are and you look at the constellations, they don't look nothing the same. So they were made for this planet in mind. So God, having done this and he cleans it all off, he sends the sun, the radioactive things from the sun, and it begins to dry out the earth. The winds move across the face of it and the mud begins to dry away. And now God is getting ready for inhabitants. So God, if you'll notice day two, day one, day two, day three, day four, if you'll notice there is a parallel of how it runs in threes. And this parallel also is embedded in the geological ages that as the men who study all these things and they find, if you ever notice and study these ages, they will find the plant life and then they will find the lower forms of animal life and they keep coming higher and higher. Wonder why they don't find any cows fossilized? Wonder why they don't find any dogs? Why don't they find no horses? How come is it now that animals, when they die now, they don't turn into fossils, that they go back to the dust of the earth? Why? It was the geological age that God wanted it written and kept alive in stone. We're not in that age for animals to be fossilized. We are in the age when they will go back to the dust because this is the allotment of their creation. Now notice how he does. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. So the waters and the air has now been separated on the second day. Now that they've been separated, they're not going to be separated and left empty and void. But now that they're separated, the house is all cleaned up, walls have been put back up, sheetrock, plaster, and so on and so on. It's totally been remodeled. It's now ready for the new inhabitants to move in. But since the flying dragons and all those types of things were destroyed in the first chaos that struck the earth, there's nothing in the air. Can you imagine the expanse of the air and the firmament, and there was not one bird flying around? There was not one insect. There was not one butterfly. There was nothing flying around. It was an absolute clean, ready earth, but there was nothing flying around. Not one bird, not one minnow in a river or the sea or the lakes. But this is fixing to change. Now, unlike God, who had built this place for people that resided in another neighborhood, and they were simply going to move from one lake to another, or one planet to another, there was no one to move. There was no life anywhere else in the universe. So if God is going to have inhabitants in this newly remodeled earth, God must bring them forth himself. Amen. Now watch. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. I love this word. It means to teem, swarm, multiply. The Hebrew word is sharats. Literally, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let fowl fly above the earth. A swarm describes a mass of moving living objects on land, in water, or in the air. Now notice, here's the creative voice of God. Now this is not as it was in the botany life, to where the seeds lay beneath the water. The cows, the animals, were not laying beneath the water, holding their breaths, waiting to come out. There were none. They had all been destroyed. Whatever type of animals that there existed before, it was all annihilated. This is fresh creation. Now you see what he's doing. He's setting the scene. Notice the order by which he brings them. He could have put the cows first if he so desired. He could have put the animals first, but he brings that in order which is relative to man's own position upon the earth. Now he brings these things out. The closer as he's coming, he's moving closer and closer and closer to the crowning achievement of his work of creation. So he says, let there be swarms. Now watch. Unlike the man, where he's making one man and one woman, he multiplies and makes millions at the same time. Let there be swarms of fishes in the sea. Let there be swarms of insects. Let there be swarms of birds. Let there be swarms. Let them teem with life. Oh my. Now notice, he not only made the great old big things, but he made little bitty tiny things too. Now in making this, remember, all life had been terminated. And the only thing that had life left was that which was protected in the sea, and that was in seed form. All the whales had been destroyed. All the dolphins, all fish, all birds, all animals, whatever existed before, totally annihilated. So now we're looking at the first expression of the new creation, and it begins with animal life. Now watch. He says, let there be, let the waters come, let them multiply, let water swarm of living creatures, let them bring forth. Now notice, in this, remember, God condenses his word. So when he says all of this, there's absolutely millions of species that are being created. Now he doesn't name each one. He doesn't go down the particular one and say, let this and this and this. But when he tells it to Moses, he just has Moses to condense it all, but in the expanse of what is being said. Friends, it is absolutely overwhelming. Scientists every year are finding new species on the earth. Now you imagine, here a man has been on the earth for thousands of years, and he still don't know who all lives here. Amen. It's an amazing thing to me that we want to go to Mars, and we want to go to the moon, and we want to go to all these places, and they estimate there is from 3 to 30 million species of insects and things on our planet that we still don't know what's even here. That's like us, ain't it? Looking way out yonder for something of this stuff right underneath our own nose that we don't even understand. Now watch this. So as God speaks this, in this is a great volume of what's contained in everything that's going to be in the earth. Because he's not going to come back now later and then recreate. So everything that's going to be created in the waters must be created in this dispensation of this sixth day. Now remember, this day is divided into two parts as the previous day was. So he focuses upon something and then he completes that. Then he focuses upon something else. Then he completes that, then he keeps moving. So everything that will be in the waters from then up to the millennium must be created on this day. Every bird that will fly, every insect that will fly, there cannot be any new species that will come 1,000 years later, because God was not Darwin. God didn't believe in that kind of evolution. Right. And neither do you if you're a child of God.
So then every kind, now no matter what kind it is, every kind must come forth. Can you imagine when he said these words? All of a sudden, millions began to come upon this earth, and it was just a multiplication of God's word. And he didn't say, let there be one, let there be two, but let there be an abundance. And remember, this is not just for the initial creation, but in this word is spoken how they will be perpetually down through the end time and on up through the millennia. This is not just one time, but they will multiply. Every time they bring forth, they will multiply and multiply and multiply. It is an ongoing thing by the commission of the word. If God would tell that to a carp, if God would tell that to a trout, if God would tell that to a little bluegill, why cannot God perform his word about me and you? What this naturalist have discovered, not less than 30,000 macula, little bitty tiny microorganisms, 30,000 in a single drop of water. Now when y'all get your problems so big that God can't take care of them, if I was you, I quit serving him. But not until. 30,000 in one drop of water. Notice this. How inconceivably small must each be, yet each a perfect animal, furnished with a whole apparatus of bones, nerves, heart, arteries, veins, lungs. Others are so small that 500 million could live in a dish of water. 500 million. And when he said, let the waters bring forth, up come the big blue whales. Up come the sharks and the great killers, the gigantic ones. And here was 500 million little bitty old guys in a dish of water. 30,000 in one drop. You know what that shows me? My Father is concerned not only about great old big whales, but little bitty drop guys like me and you. I'm not a whale. I'm not a beluga. I'm not a big old guy. I'm just one of them little bitty old guys in a drop. But you know what? I'm still important to God. I've got lungs. I've got a heart. I've got arteries. I've got veins. I've got representation. I've got an identity in the mind of God. Can you imagine? All we look and say, man, look at them big old cows. And look at them big old this. And God said, yeah, that's all good. I made all that. But look at them little bitty tiny things that I made. But the reproduction of fish. Now watch. Whenever God speaks this, he gives them a capability to reproduce. Another point intended in the text. No creatures are so prolific. The roe or the eggs. A tench will lay 1,000 eggs. A carp, 20,000. The roe of codfish contains 9 million eggs. One cod. 9 million eggs. Glory to God. A flounder, about 1.5 million. A mackerel, 500,000. Hey, what's 1 million? What's 2 million? My goodness, you know, you're looking at eggs. What's 1 million or 500,000? Why? Why? Why would that happen? Why not one or two like us? Because he knew many of those eggs would be used as a food source. He knew many of those eggs would never make it. And you mean he even thought that far advanced? What if a mackerel only had 5 or 6? What if a salmon only had 5 or 6? You see, you never even thought of this, did you? And you want God's job? Boy, I'm glad you're not God. I can done tell right now, this is a part y'all hadn't thought about. See, we wouldn't have no good fish at Red Lobster to eat, would we, if you was God? So God loaded them. I want you to have 9 million kids. Lord, who but a fish could handle that? I want you to have 500,000. I want you to have 1 million. I want you, why would he do it? Cause he knew it would be necessary. Do you think, friends, if he can do all of this, here they've been living, and you understand, every shark, every whale, everything that's here came from this original spoken word of God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So here, think of the thousands of people in third world countries as well as domesticated places where they have civilization and all that live off of fish. They don't have the ability, many of them, to buy a gun to hunt. They don't have the ability to be able to provide what they can, but you know what? God knew. Plumb down through time, a great portion of the heavens of the earth would live near the seacoast. So God said, waters, multiply. Multiply and let this law be in you plumb down to the end time. Even after the fall, multiply. Even after the fall, birds, multiply. Watch this. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Notice this, the pigeon of North America has been seen in flocks a mile wide and taking 4 hours in passing at the rate of a mile a minute was calculated to contain 250 million birds. How'd you like to go to the grocery store for them? And yet, who feeds them? Who takes care of all of them? Hallelujah. Can't you see what this dispensation, as Moses picks it up, what is it? It is a dispensation of life. Life. And it's not just a little sparse life. Unlike the way man looks at it in science and they spend years and years of their life and millions of dollars wasted trying to prove a theory. That's all it is. A theory of evolution. Just a theory. How many people could they feed with the amount of money they waste trying to prove something? That's ain't nothing but a lie. That's right. And yet God just spoke and said, let there be. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now notice then above the earth. Now here, the compartments or the bedrooms of the oceans have now been allotted by the creative power of God, swarms upon swarms upon swarms. You imagine the Mediterranean and all the seas and all the rivers and all the lakes. There was absolutely nothing there. Nothing. Billions and billions and billions of square miles of empty nothing. And all of a sudden, whoosh, there was trout. There was mackerel, salmon, perch. Millions of them. Glory to God. There are about 1,250,000 identified species of animals. This includes 1,190,200 vertebrate, invertebrates. Among them, 950,000 insects. Oh man, I don't like some of them, do you? But apparently God does. They had a reason for being on the earth. 70,000 mollusks, 40,000 crustaceans, and 130,200 others. There are about 58,800 identified vertebrates, including 29,300 fish. That's only the ones they know. And all of these come into existence when our Father began to speak in a lot. Now, was it in 1 second? Well, we don't know how that happened. But we know that He began to speak by His Word. And the Word allocated what each one would be. Some would live in fresh water. Some would live in salt water. The salmon would be actually born in the fresh water, go into the salt water, come out of the salt water, back to the fresh water, lay its eggs, and there it would die. Its young, oh my, they would leave from where they were born. And they would go down into the ocean, travel for thousands of miles, but one day they will return to the exact same stream they come out of. They don't have no GPS. They ain't got no iPhone to lead them there. But my God and your God, my Father and your Father gave them the ability to get right back where they were spawned from. If a fish can find where it come from and can get back, can I find where I come from and get back to where I began? Hallelujah. Notice this in verse 21. And God created great whales. This is the first time we see this word. Since Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Verse 2, it's not creation. Verse 3, it's not creation. Verse 4, on down, on down, on down. But here now we see the word emerging. So what is it? New creation. Everything else had been annihilated. Everything else was fossilized, buried in the earth, encased there for thousands of years. And now God creates, notice, God created great whales. And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Now actually, when we say this in our language, we think of one particular animal. But in the Hebrew, it's not actually just the whale alone. In the original, it's not just one species, but it's compromising all the great, comprising rather, all the great aquatic animals, such as whales, porpoise, dolphin, the narwhal, the shark, all of that. Now watch how God created great whales. They were destroyed. They could not have lived, even if they had lived in this other state of the earth. They could not have survived in the condition that it was in. So they're all obliterated across the earth. And then God creates. Now you imagine, why would God create a whale? What purpose is it? What good is a dolphin? Just for you go to Disney and rub it on the head? Is that the only reason? No. You see, friend, God in his great expanse and expressing all of these things, much of it, no doubt, is for our pleasure. I'm convinced much of it is for his own. In the way that he views it and all the species of life, God loves diversity. And this is what really gets me whenever folks in the message want everybody to act exactly the same way. They want every church. Where in the world will we get that from the diverse creation of our Father? He made some great or big animals, some medium-sized animals, some small animals. God don't want us all to be exactly alike. God loves diversity. Here's the amazing thing. God loves diversity, but he loves diversity through unity. Now, diversity is the argumentative things, but he loves diversity. And then to be able to turn around and take that diversity and merge it together and make unity. Look at the ocean, how it inhabits the beautiful tropical fish that you go and buy and you put in your tank, and they're yellow and pink and blue and whatever more. And yet you look at some of the other fish, so ugly. You look at the poor old flounder. I've always felt sorry for that poor old guy. Just lay around one side, he's ugly as all get out, and the other side, he looks like a fish. Some of them, you know, you look at him and say, Lord, what was you thinking when you made that? What did you have in your mind? But yet, you know, some of them he knew would be good to eat. Others would not be good to eat. Some, even the fish won't eat them. You know? They live there. They have a reason. Look at the cow. The cow is ate. The cow is worked. The horse is worked. Look at the lion. Since his creation, as far as we know, he's never been tamed for anybody to ride. Right? You don't use him up out of the field somewhere and put a plow on him and come on, boy. Let's go, Leo. Ha! Ha! Let's go. He's not used for that. Look at the zebra. Thousands strong in the plains of Africa. Yet you can't work them. You cannot really eat them. They don't taste that good. And yet they roam around. They've got it made. And the poor old hog, he's just raised to be eaten by somebody. A poor old chicken. Man, you ever see a chicken out in the plains of Africa and say, man, I want to mount that chicken. Are you kidding me? You want to eat that bird. That's what you want to do. Look at them. Well, we look at these things. Oh, how beautiful. Snap, snap. How beautiful. Look at that. Others that are, Why? Why? Because of the diversity of God. What if he made them all to eat? What if he made them all to labor? But some he assigned just to be ornamentation upon the earth. They, in their beauty, he would give them the bright, brilliant colors. My, there they would be. The 39 species of the birds of paradise. Many of you ever seen pictures of them? You didn't know there's that many species. That's the only ones I know about. Yet they're beautiful plumage. Whoever sees them? They live in forests so high, humans never hardly ever see them. And yet they're some of the most beautiful birds that live on the earth, on the whole planet. And the natives that are there, they certainly don't think they're that beautiful as far as that goes. What are they there for? He must love them. He must love them. So when he spoke this and he thought, I want birds that are yellow. I want the love bird from Africa. I want him to be yellow with a little peach right around his face. And then the other lovebirds from Africa, I want him to be more greenish with a little darker patch here.
And I want the robin to be this way and the cardinal to be that way. And I want this one to be that way and that way. And he spoke and said, let there be. Let there be. And here they come. Reds and yellows and oranges and pinks and blues. And he said, I want the peacock to be all of them together. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice. So God created great whales. And every living creature that moveth. So here the gigantic whale. The blue whale. The largest that we have, that we know of. That reaches 100 feet in length. And 100 to 150 tons. And then you got this other little guy that's bumped up together on one little drop of water. So close, they hardly got breathing room. They just kind of hang around. But the big blue whale goes out and just goes around, lives by himself, goes through the oceans and does what? Eats and reproduces. Got it made. The life of Raleigh. Then you got the little sardines and the little mackerel. And everybody wants them. The porpoises, the sharks, Dal. And others, you say, oh, who would want a blowfish? Anybody here ever eat a blowfish? I doubt it. You'd be in the emergency room if you did. You know I'm talking about? The blowfish that blows up, got things sticking out all over his body. He's not made to be. How many's ever eat a porcupine? Why? You mean you'll eat a rabbit and not eat a porcupine? You'll eat a piece of steak and won't eat a porcupine? It's meat too. You see what I'm saying? God put some to where they're in that life. They live, they reproduce, they exist on the earth. And what have they ever done? Not one porcupine's ever made to be a doctor. Not one porcupine's ever been a banker. Not one porcupine's ever been a lawyer. And yet God created them and placed them on the earth and gave them a little niche in life, and nobody can take their place. And you better be careful even walking where they are in their place, because they will get you. Why would he do such a thing? He loves to express himself in the form of life. Can't you see? He is not limited just to the big and the beautiful and the flamboyant and the bright colored. He loves dull browns and dull grays and dull greens. He loves life. Lord Jesus. Notice in Psalms 104 verse 24, David said, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Do you understand? Trees, plants, animals, insects, fish. They are God's wealth. You say, what do you mean? He's the only one that can produce them because they have life. God loves life. He loves to express them. Man can make all kinds of fake trees, but he can't give none of them life. Man can make statues. They can make a statue of me or you that would look so lifelike. But you know what? They do not have the ability to put life in me. And yet God gave that life to a dog and a cat and an owl and all kinds of old dumb birds and all kinds of fish. They'll never speak. They'll never talk. They'll never sing a song. But they have one thing that the greatest scientist can never reproduce, and that is life. His riches are life. Now look at him. He puts gold. And where's he put it? In the earth. Silver. Where'd he put silver? In the earth. Many rare gems and jewels. Where'd he put most of them? In the earth. Any of them got life? You ever seen gold talk? What about silver? Pearls? Rubies? Gems? You ever seen them talk? But yet that's what we think are riches. things that are lifeless. But God says, no, that's not the way I measure my riches. I measure my riches by the multiplication of life. Friends, if we're not careful, we'll get that same mentality in the message. And we'll think the reproduction of the message is how many books we get out. How many tapes we get out. How many people's in the message, so-called. But how many of them will be gone in 5 years from now if they're just in the message? We want them in Christ. Remember, we don't want just a symbol over here and a statue and another statue and another statue. 300 and some thousand, 150,000, all these numbers. What we want is life. That's God's riches, is life. Don't you see why it's so important? We don't just want a bunch of people on this hillside. We want a bunch of people filled with the Holy Ghost. A bunch of people filled with the life of God. That's God's treasures. The earth is full of thy riches. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Donnie. Gold is riches, is it? In heaven, it's paint. It's the pavement on the streets. It's equivalent to concrete and blacktop here. It's what you walk on. Does God exalt the gold there and make the first bank of heaven solid gold and gold bars and gold teeth and gold this and that and the other? God says, oh, I'm going to put it exactly where it belongs, under your feet. And what does God make over? What does God love? What does God adore? Life. Life. Do you understand? Life. Can't you see how he can look at this mass of humanity on the face of the earth today in their wretchedness and their filth and darkness? How can he look at them and love them? He loves life. He loves life. Notice this. David said, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. So some things God just made to kind of play around. They're not sure exactly what this is. Crocodile, alligator, some type of great whale. They're not sure exactly. They've never been able to really interpret what this Hebrew word means. But David apparently knew what he was talking about. So he said, God made this thing to just play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. You're kidding me. Animals and fish and birds. You know what? There's not an atheist in the entire bird kingdom. You'll not find an atheist whale. You'll not find an atheist shark. There is no atheist salmon. There is no atheist apple tree or peach tree or pear tree. They wait on him. How do they do it, Brother Donnie? I don't know, but the word says they do. Oh my, they wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Notice that, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest. Thou renewest the face of the earth. Remodeling job. Thou renewest. Notice in the same senses now, talking about animal life. Now you imagine when God began to think about all the things that would fly. And his mind being, oh my, how in the world could we even begin to even understand? Millions of species. What was he thinking when he thought about great big beautiful ones? And little simple humble ones. Ones like the eagle that would have such great wingspan. And the little tiny hummingbird that would flap its wings so fast that he burns up such energy in a couple of minutes more than an eagle will on a long half day flight. Hallelujah. And yet he would think of each one of these and give them the wonderful design. And then God thought of the insect kingdom. Bugs. Ugh. Bugs?
mean roaches? Mosquitoes? Ticks?
Ew. What do you mean, ew?
About 1 million species of insects have been identified so far. Now, you may look at this and say, what importance is it? Maybe you should ask him who made them. If they found 1 million species, they must really have some value to God. But Brother Donnie, I don't know what they would be. Well, I don't either, but I know they have to have a purpose some way. So I'll try to spot and kill what I can and understand it better by and by. Don't you see what I'm trying to show you? They are in God's providence. They have life.
Well, you say there's things in His creation right now I like better than the other. I understand it's the same way with people too. But now watch. Can you not see the same finger in the web of the spider and take that web and place it up in the heavens and see the same pattern or the same finger who drowed out the stars? And yet He would let a little spider which cannot speak, cannot talk, and yet He would teach it how to spin a web. And He would allow the snow to be brought from His treasuries. And they have never yet to this day ever found two of those flakes that are identical. And all of them that they've looked at, 10,000 times 10,000, are all six-sided. Wow. Our God is an awesome God. Now watch. The little small tiny insect that has the beautiful blue and green iridescent colors on his wings. The little tiny thing that barely knows how to get around. The termite that's buried in the ground. The ant that you squish under your foot. And yet God gave them life. The little ants don't send their little ants to ant school to learn how to build a colony. The little termites don't send their little children to termite school. Yet they're born, they fulfill their purpose, they die, and it's went on for countless of generations. Amen. Why? God loves life. Now watch. He unfolds millions of species. Look in verse 22. And God blessed them. Now, a new element is added to the new order. This is the first time the word bless is found in the Bible. And God isn't speaking it to humans. But God is speaking this blessing to animals, to sharks, to whales, to insects. Amen. Can't you see why you'll never wipe them out? Right. Orkin can do what they want to do. They'll never destroy them. They're under the blessing of God. Amen. And they will be here until their purpose is fulfilled. Right. Notice this. And God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. And let fowl multiply in the earth. Now watch. God blesses, written in the word to bless, is to wish well. To wish well. To pronounce blessings upon. Now this is the first thing. Of all the things that He's brought into view, this is the first day that He says this. Notice what day it is. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle, Now remember, this is day six. Now we move out of the water. We move out of the sky. Now we move upon the earth. Each step is getting closer to the crowning achievement of God's work.
Hallelujah.
Now watch, as he unfolds this stage, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. So your God is now filling the new house. It's like he's preparing for something. It's like he's making preparation for a great crescendo. Something that will enjoy with him an affinity that will enjoy what is here. Now, no doubt, many of the things that have been brought upon the earth are purely for God's enjoyment himself, since most of us will never see them or even know they even exist. But there may be certain things that you and I would be familiar with in our area, that people in Africa wouldn't be familiar with a gray squirrel. Every day we see them, you nearly, or a red squirrel, or some around us. Yet they would see elephants, they would see zebra, whatever more. But yet God placing each one upon the earth, something that would be an enjoyment to those that would live there. Amen. Then God blessed them, and God said, let them multiply. Now watch, on the first half of the sixth day, animals. Animals unlike the whales, animals unlike insects, animals unlike the birds, animals broke down in three subspecies. Now watch, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Now the word creature here is, the Hebrew word is nephesh, which is self-conscious life. Distinguished from plants, which have an unconscious life. Now think, plants are totally unconscious that they exist. They do not know that they are a plant. They do not know that they are alive in the sense of this word nephesh. Now God moves into a new phase of his creation. Can't you see? He's coming closer and closer. Because truly the bird would have known more than just a tree. Or a whale would have known more than just a plant of some sort. The intelligence is being superimposed as it comes along in the creation. What's it leading to? The great intelligence. Now, here then comes with this type of animal life on the earth. They are going to have nephesh, which is a spirit. They are not just animal life, but they will have a spirit. They will be able to be taught. They will know about a conscious life. Now, watch this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now what's Solomon liking the human race to this? For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them as one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no more preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go into one place. Notice now the earthly home. All are of the dust. All return to dust again. Now notice the affinity of everything that is made on the sixth day. But if a blue whale dies, or a beluga whale, or a narwhal, do they go back to the dust of the earth? They do not. Why? They didn't come from the dust of the earth. If they die naturally of natural causes in the ocean, their bodies will go down, and all kinds of animals that have no sight and no vision, that live down in the deepest parts, they will go down, down, down into the fathoms of the deep, and there they will be preserved and will feed many of these animals that's never seen most of the time, and there they will feed for months at a time. So they become a further part of what they came from. But their bodies don't necessarily go back to the dust of the earth. But what about a man now? That would die in natural cause. And what happens to that man? What happens to a horse? What happens to a cow? Does he turn to a fossil? The days of fossils are past. The days of Luther are over. The days of Wesley are over. So, and listen, the days of fossilizing Christians are over. We're in a rapture day. We're in a changing time. Oh, glory.
So what happens then? They go to the dust. What happens to man? He goes to the dust. We buy a nice casket and a nice steel box to put them in and all that sort of thing. But give them enough time, they will rot, they will deteriorate. Why? Because it is God's word. Watch this. All go to one place. All are of the dust. All turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast, that goeth downward to the earth. Now notice here God comes higher in that this new kind of animals that are on the earth will have a conscious life. Now they're going to be more mindful than their predecessors were before them. Now watch verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth. Now these land words of course are the land animals that will live upon the earth, generically characterized as nephesh kaha, or animated beings. So they're not just dumb brutes in the sense of not realizing existence like a tree. So they're going to have an intelligence that will be beyond plant life. They will have an intelligence. Why? Because they will actually have a spirit. Amen. It's no wonder that the poet said, a dog's God is man. Now think of that. For those of you who have dogs, whether they're in the house or out of the house, you think of what that dog, many of them that's really a pet, what they live for. They don't live to go to Walmart. They don't live to come to church. They don't live for many things that humans live for. But many of them live for what? For your companionship. To please you. They enjoy being around you. Your kids, they enjoy fetching your slippers and your newspaper and whatever more you've got old Bow Wow trying to do for you. They enjoy being around you. Can't you see how that even God in the animal kingdom placed certain ones that would have a closer affinity to man? That in that he would have, why? There's something about it that God put it there. My, should not we then respect all that God has given in life? If we would respect a dog, what about a sinner? If you treat a dog humanely, and you should, then what about a sinner out here? And just because I don't believe the message, we want to treat them like a snake in the grass? Come on, children. If God respects life in a little bitty tiny animalcule, and God respects life in a dog or a cat, why, how much should we ought to respect it in sinners? You don't know when you might be talking to a seed. So God speaks now, let these animals come forth, and they're going to come forth on the same day. Yes, man. They're going to be subdivided into three well-defined categories or classes. Cattle, as God, the English word says it, which is behemoth, literally the dumb animal, larger grass-eating quadrupeds, and creeping thing, rimus, the moving animal, the smaller animals that move either without feet or with feet, that are scarcely perceptible, such as worms, insects, reptiles, and the land creepers that are meant, the remus of the sea having created on the previous day, the beasts of the earth, chaya of the earth after his kind. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image. The house is now filled. The earth is now the air, the oceans, the seas, the creeks, the streams. All it needs is somebody to rule it. Let me close. And Elohim said, let us. Let us. So this is the first command in the scripture which a plural pronoun is used to describe deity.
Some of y'all better grab your heart pills right now. And if you've got any extras, keep them out. This is also the first time that God actually speaks of himself. The first time that he speaks a personal pronoun, a plural personal pronoun, and the first time that he speaks about himself is in relation to you. He doesn't speak about himself in relation to when he made the sun or when he made the sharks or the whales. Now notice God did not speak and say, let the waters bring forth a man. He didn't say, let the earth bring forth a man. Let man fall out of the tree from being a baboon and let him be a man. But notice God said, let us. You say, Brother Donnie, who was that us? Let's stand. I won't make you wait till next Wednesday. Show us the Father, Brother Eric, paragraph 65. Brother Bam says, when he made everything that looked nice and good to him, now he said, let us, plural, make man, plural. Do you realize when God says this in Genesis, let us make man, the word man is Adam, which is Adam. But it's not just one man. It's mankind. The race. So let us make the entire race of Adam. I don't know if you can understand it or not, but we was there. Not in individual bodies, but friends, we were there in this part. Notice, Brother Bram says, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our own image. What was he? There is a supernatural being. There's the one that could not be seen. God the Father never was seen. Never will be seen. He's all nature and there he is. And now here's the Son, which is the Logos that went out of him, made in his image. A supernatural being that went out in the beginning. Not two gods now. Not two lords. Let us make man in our image. After he had made in his own image, he made a supernatural being. Yes, indeed. Genesis 1, 28, read and see if that isn't right. And when he made man in his own image, he had rule over the beast. He led the beast around like the Holy Spirit supposed to lead the church today. That's right. He led the church around. So here God says, let us, the plural form, Elohim. Not Jehovah, singular, but plural, Elohim. Let us, the invisible, which cannot be seen, said to that which is seen, that which is visible. Glory to God. Let us, visible and invisible, make man in our visible and invisible image. And the church said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't you love him? Now look. Millions of species of animals. Millions of insects. And when he makes man, he makes one. He makes one, but in that one is all. Or all that was of original creation. You see, all was not in this Genesis 1 here. And God said, let us make man. Not all human beings were in that original creation. Creatures of time, many of them, that's all they are. They come, they have reproduction of human life. They go right back, always was dead, always will be. But here he said, let us make man, Adam, red, collectively brought together, red. Not just one man, the whole race. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh, Father. As we stand here tonight in our minds, we go back on that fifth day when it was completed, and then the breaking forth of the sixth day. The animals came upon the earth by the thousands. The striped zebra, the spotted giraffe, the reticulated giraffe, the Asian elephant, the African elephant, all these great masses of things. Each of them with their designated ability to understand and comprehend. Some you gave such tremendous memory that the matriarch elephant, which leads the elephants across the plains of Africa, when the Serengeti will get dry in the lower parts in Kenya and Tanzania, the matriarch will start leading the herds for hundreds and hundreds of miles. They'll start north. And she will go, not by a map or by a compass, by the memory you gave her. She'll lead those herds from one water hole to another to another. No GPS, no helicopter to guide her. And then others, Lord, you gave them hardly no memory at all. No ability to recollect. Some you made them beautiful. Some birds you gave them such pretty feathers. So flamboyant. So bright. Many of them you made them plain and drab. But yet each of them shares one common gift. The gift of life. Lord, may we look around tonight and see there's Christians that are great Christians. They're, as we'd say, like birds of paradise. Flamboyant. They're always so bubbly and full of joy. Many great preachers, great people. Able to do great things for God. And then there's others. They're olive gray or brown, speckled brown. Kind of drab. They just fit into the surroundings. They don't never really stand out. They've never written a song. Never written a poem. But yet, Lord, we all have one common thing that we can thank you for. And that's life. So whether we're the bright, brilliant blue or beautiful red or a canary yellow or the little brown speckled hen, may we use what you've given us, Lord. For we too, on the sixth day, our future was unfolding as well. Lord God, may you take our lives. Even in our church, some can sing, some don't sing so well. Some can witness, others get all tongue-tied. Some can run a business. Some have tried 40 and failed on every one of them. So Lord, may each of us just find our place. Maybe be able to function in what you've made us. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you well. I don't want to serve you by what people think I should do. But with what you've given me, I'm probably just a little brown speckled Christian. I don't have any flamboyant colors. I'm not a great gifted guy like many men are. I'll never have a great position. But maybe just a little brown sort of a fella that fits over in the forest. Hardly nobody knows he ever exists. But I'll live and I'll eat and I'll do what you've called me to do. And in doing that, I've served your purpose. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Help us not to despise the day of small things. You who made the little mosquito, the little tiny immacula, 30,000 can fit in one drop of water. And yet you know each of them. Lord Jesus, help us tonight, Father, that we can find our place. Help us not to vie for position and want to be big and want this and that and the other. Help us to simply want one simple thing. what you placed us in life for. Nothing more, nothing less. If I would be no more, Lord God, than just a little tiny gnat on a wall, spiritually speaking, let me serve well, Lord. If I'd be no more than a tiny mosquito or a little tiny mite, whatever it be, God, in your kingdom, I share the same thing with all the big Christians. Life. Life. Our gifts are different. Our colors of skin, our ability to say things. But there's one thing we have in common. Life. Help us, Lord. May the races of the earth see it. One day they will. The blacks won't feel inferior or superior. The whites won't feel inferior or superior or feel threatened by the other races. One day the race thing will be settled. A black man can give a white man a blood transfusion, vice versa. We know all that, Lord. Help us to see our skin colors different. Our ways may be somewhat different, but we share one great thing in common. Life. Life. May we team with life, Lord God. May you speak to our church as you spoke to the waters and the sky. May we swarm with life. Not numbers, but life. May we swarm in this message with life. Lord, help us to get our eyes off of numbers. Bigger crowds, more this, more that. I preach to more than you do. My church is bigger than yours. More people on our mailing list. That's a bunch of carnal stuff to us. We're not interested in that stuff, Lord. We want a team with life. We want your virtue, your nature, to so pour out of us that people can see Jesus is still alive and well. Get it, Lord. How many wants that with me tonight? Hey, would you sing that song that you sang for us as we come out? God bless you, saints. You love him tonight? You appreciate his word? Oh, thank God. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. Service this weekend. I'll see you, Lord willing. Let's come expecting the Lord to move. I believe he is. My, all the emails and all the texts I've got from these last couple weekend services. Look out, devil. Oh, thank God for his word. I appreciate it, don't you? Amen. God bless you. I know your children got school tomorrow and all that, so go in the fear of God. I love you and appreciate you. In Jesus' name.
Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me, not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your opened up the pages of your word, and we hear the preacher preach the sermon. I want to become what I've heard. In front of me I see Christ living in me. It's what I'm walking toward. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me, not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done. Lord, you're calling me higher place, to walk with you each and every day. If I pray and read my Bible, you will keep me in revival and lead me into a body change. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your will be done. Your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me. Not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come. I will let your